May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 711. 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
May the Lord open our eyes as we read from his word this morning. Two portions of scripture, and firstly we'll turn to the gospel according to Mark and chapter 10. The gospel according to Mark and chapter 10. And we'll begin reading at verse 28 and read to the end of the chapter. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And finally, we'll turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation in chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. These are the letters to the churches at Philadelphia and Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I'll repeat that last verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he now help each one of us to pray. O most holy, almighty, and ever merciful Lord God, we come before thee this morning, feeling our great unworthiness to approach unto thee, having been given a glimpse of thy holiness. Yet we can come before thee. We can pour our needs out before thee. For there is one sitting at thy right hand, even thy dear Son, interceding for us even this morning. So we beg that each one now may be given a true breath of real prayer, to be able to come with boldness to the throne of grace, to remember that we are coming to a King. And with large petitions we may come to that King, remembering that nothing is too small or too great to lay before thee, knowing that those who feel they cannot even pray this morning, thou dost hear the groanings of the heart. And may we each draw comfort that our Heavenly Father knoweth what we have need of before we even ask. So as we come before thee this morning, may our prayer and our chief desire be, Lord, give me that which is needful today for the good of my never-dying soul, that which thou dost see fit to give me today will be for thine honour and glory. But Lord, we must come with great thankfulness unto thee for thy many, many mercies. For it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. For we have to prove that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But as we have been given that strength in body and in mind to gather in thy house and assemble ourselves together as we should, we are thankful for thy mercy in this. But Lord, we also have thy promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. And we truly trust and believe that this morning there are more than just two or three gathered together in thy name, gathering together to see no man save Jesus only. So may we know and draw comfort that thou wilt be with thy people. O Lord, bless us with thy presence. Pour out thy Spirit in our midst today and stir us up. Oh, may we ever be delivered from that lukewarm spirit, that which is so offensive in thine eyes. Give us, Lord, we pray, true prayer, true hunger, true desire to worship the Almighty God. May we never forget why we assemble ourselves together on thy day, to worship thee and to honour and glorify thy name. And may that be upmost in our thoughts this morning. Lord, and we must also return thanks that the doors of this place of worship are open, and that thy hand has been upon our government to enable places of worship to remain open when there are so many restrictions placed upon many things. This indeed is a true answer to prayer. This is indeed thy hand upon our leaders and nothing else. May we not forget these things and truly thank thee that we can gather in this way. We pray for those unable to gather this morning who may be listening in for one reason and another. We pray that before too long they may feel able to once again gather together in thy house in that way of public worship to honour thee. But Lord, we desire more than that. We desire that in the roads and streets surrounding this place of worship, many may be wrought upon to come into this place. That as we are in this time of great distress and difficulty in this nation, there may be a working, and that many may come into this place, that the pews once again may be filled with souls seeking after thee. O Lord, we pray for a godly increase. We do not desire chapel swappers, but Lord, may there be many that feel the need to come into thy house, to come into this congregation, and many also in this congregation felt constrained to come in and join the church. Lord, may these times of judgment that we are in cause much heart searching in many and cause a godly increase in thy house. And Lord, we pray for all those places of worship up and down this land this day where thy word is faithfully preached. Lord, we pray for thy one church that thou mayest build it up yet. These judgments upon this land, we see, Lord, little effect spiritually, if any. Lord, maybe we see more of a hardening of heart and a trouble brought upon us. But Lord, may we each desire that these things will fall out for the furtherance of the gospel. We pray that this virus that is upon us may be removed if it be thy will. But Lord, above that, we ask that our nation will be turned. Should thy judgments grow more severe upon us, Lord, may we be given submission to it, and our chief desire be that thy name be glorified. Lord, should thy judgments grow severe, we are condemned, but thou art clear. Give those in our nation, our leaders, those eyes of faith to see the perilous state we are in. And give them much wisdom as they lead our nation. We pray for those that have been affected by this virus. Even now, one and another that we think of upon our mind who are ill or have been very unwell or still are. We pray for them that these things may be sanctified unto them for the good of their never dying souls. And that they may be enabled to say, it is good that I have been afflicted. And we pray, Lord, for each one here this morning. We know not how they have come in, any of them. We know not what they have begged on the way. And we know not if there are any that have come with no desire at all. Lord, if that be the case, do quicken and make alive the dead souls. Those who have come pleading with thee, Lord, do meet their case this day. For we each have those differing needs. We pray for the family here, enduring a great affliction and trial at this time. Lord, do be with each one in that family. Lord, do truly bless them in this trial. For Lord, these are easy things to say when we are not walking in that pathway. But we trust we know a little of the blessings that can come in affliction. So, Lord, may it be the case. May thy hand be seen working mightily in each in this congregation. For we are exalted to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those who may be gathered this morning with those secret burdens, those things which no one knows anything of, in providence or in grace, may we be enabled to pray for them that they may see thy hand in their case. But above all, Lord, may this church and congregation be united as one, truly feel thy presence in their midst, as we believe it is, and that this year may be a year of jubilee, a year of thanksgiving in trial, and a year in which they can truly say that their Lord has gone before them in the way. Lord, do be with the deacons here in their many responsibilities. Do help them in all that they have to do. And as they not only give out the hymns, but those many things behind the scenes which have to be attended to, give them grace, give them wisdom, give them strength. May they not fear man, but may they fear Almighty God only. Do that which is right in thy sight and not in man's eyes. Lord, and we pray for those older in years, those who are suffering affliction, those who feel the body beginning to fail, and the mind also. Hold them up, we pray, that they may know that underneath are the everlasting arms, those tender, loving arms which cannot be removed. We pray for those in the midst of life, those in business and employment, much to occupy their minds, much to draw them away from thee. O Lord, may we each be given that diligence to be in thy word, to study thy word, to be found much in prayer, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, not to forsake thy house, but to have a hunger and a desire to be at the means of grace. We pray for the mothers here and those who have to educate their children at home who would not normally do so, and those who educate at home as they have done for many years. Lord, do be with them. Help them at these times. And Lord, as the families are together for many, many weeks as they would not normally be, do help them, we pray. And we pray for the children and the young people, those who may be seeking employment, those who may be having exams before too long or should have been, those who cannot do that which they were expecting to do. Oh, may they pray to thee, lay their needs before thee. May they feel that closeness with thee and thy presence with them also. Lord, thou art none are too young for thee to work within. Lord, do work, we pray, that another generation may be raised up to serve thee. Oh, and may we each search our hearts, how are we serving thee? We pray for the Lord's servants, but we should each be thy servants, every one of us. Lord, may we have a hunger and a desire to serve thee. May we be given that fervent heat. Lord, we pray for our cause of truth at Heathfield today and one expected to preach there. Do be with him. We pray for our own family also. Lord, do be with them and help them in these hours that I am away. And Lord, everyone that faithfully preaches thy word today in this land and throughout the world, Lord, do own and bless thy one church. We pray for thy persecuted people, those who may be gathering this day, fearing for their lives, not knowing if they will even see the end of the day, for there are many places where there is bitter and fierce persecution. May we hold our brothers and sisters up in prayer. Those we do not even know, whom we hope to be united with in glory. Lord, do we pray, work throughout this world, and may there yet be that ceasing of the continual onslaught of those false religions, that there may be seen throughout the world thy power and thy work. But Lord, we come now to worship thee. We come this morning into thy house. We come completely dependent upon thee as we stand here and as they sit in the pews. Lord, do we pray, open the eyes, unblock the ears, prepare the hearts, that that good seed which is sown may fall on good ground, and that there may be fruit, Lord, that there may be signs, that there may be evidences that thy word that has gone forth has done real good. Lord, we implore thee that thou wilt come down and meet with us. Strip this poor man of anything that is of self. Pour thy blessed word in, Lord. May nothing be marred and mixed with it from ourselves. Oh, Lord, we desire, do come, do come, do come and meet with us. Lord, help us each. That which we have forgotten to pray for in our weakness, oh, may it have been prayed for by those before us now. May we feel that unity in our prayers. May our prayers now unite together and ascend on high, and do intercede for us, dear Lord Jesus. We ask all these things in thy dear name. Amen.
Continue with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn 132.
Thank you.
May the Lord greatly help us each this morning, both in preaching and in hearing. As I draw your attention to a word we'll find in the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 10. The Gospel according to Mark and chapter 10. And really those words in verse 47. Mark chapter 10 and those words in verse 47. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But I'll reread through the whole account of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Have we got any beggars here this morning? Have any of you come to chapel feeling to be a beggar? Feeling to be in need? Feeling to be nothing? Because there are only two types of people before me this morning. Those who think themselves to be rich, and those who feel themselves to be nothing. We read, didn't we, that searching portion in the book of Revelation. Those letters to the churches. We can see similarities, can't we, maybe, with our churches, with ourselves. But it's not my intention to preach from that today. But as that letter was written to the church at Laodicea, there were those that said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And they knew not that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. May we each feel to be beggars this morning. Because, as we will see, this poor beggar, blind Bartimaeus, had far more true riches than those that were left in the city of Jericho. In one way, we are each in the highway this morning. We have come into the place, a place of worship, the public worship of Almighty God, where he ordinarily meets with his people. We have been kept to the highway. But what are we inside? Have you come hungering? Have you come thirsting? Have you come with a real need, with a cry of Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. His eyes were set on that duty that he had to carry out to redeem his people. But even as he was on the way, there was one who he stopped to help. There is this account here for a reason, dear friends. Because this account we have is a perfect example of what every child of God will feel. Blind Bartimaeus felt his need. Blind Bartimaeus cried out because of his need. The Lord Jesus heard that call, heard that cry, and called unto him. Blind Bartimaeus rose up from his position. And he followed Jesus in the way. It is, on one hand, an account of a blind man being healed. But may we have our blind eyes opened to see what riches there are in these few short verses. Blind Bartimaeus. There was no welfare state in those days. There was no support for the beggars. There was no means and devices to help this poor man. He sat outside of Jericho, on the road, on the highway to Jerusalem, because he knew that was the place where he may get help, where someone may take mercy, have pity upon him, may put some money in his hat that he had before him, as we see even now in our day, those who beg. He needed his next meal. Maybe he needed somewhere to sleep that night. He begged. He had a real need. This man realized he was blind. Do you? Do you realize that you have a need this morning? Do you long to see the suitability and the beauty of Jesus Christ? Do you desire above all things to see Jesus, to know him, to claim him, to feel him as your Savior? In one way, dear friend, if that is the case, your eyes have already been opened. Or maybe I should phrase it this way. Your eyes have not been opened to his beauty, but you are no longer dead. Blind Bartimaeus was not dead because he felt his need. He needed something. And if you are here this morning because you truly feel that you have a need, the Lord has quickened you to life. The Lord has caused you to see what? That you are a sinner. That you, at that great day of judgment, can never stand before a holy God. That you need mercy personally. That's what Bartimaeus needed. He was praying for himself. Now, that's not selfish. Because religion is personal. Jesus, he said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when we are brought to see our sinfulness, our great need, we will cry for his mercy. Have mercy on me. Me, Lord, me. I need that help. I am a beggar, poor indeed. So we have that hymn, I think I marked it up earlier. A beggar, poor, at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. With guilt beset and deep in debt, for pardon, Lord, I pray. O let thy love sufficient prove to take my sins away. That's the beggar. That is the blind beggar. With guilt beset and deep in debt. That desire to have those sins removed. So, do we feel our need this morning, our need of his mercy? Bartimaeus was blind in body, but he was not blind in his soul, was he? Because he could see that there was only one that could have mercy upon him. That was the Son of David, the great Messiah. He hadn't seen physically Jesus' other miracles, but he had those eyes of faith to see that this man coming down the road was the Son of David, the promised Messiah, that one whom he was looking for. And as he sat by the wayside begging, what did he say? Have mercy on me. He didn't say, look, I've got this amount of money. I have got this that I can give you. Will you heal me because I have this and that and I've done this and done that? This beggar stood there with his hands outstretched, begging with nothing to bring. And that is where you will be reduced to. That point of realization. You cannot give nothing. You cannot give anything. You have nothing to give. You just have to rely on his mercy. Jesus of Nazareth. But he saw more than a man. He saw the Son of David. He saw the Messiah. He saw one and one alone that could be merciful. He had nothing to bring. And dear friends, we always try and bring something, don't we? We think we must bring something. But what did Top Lady say in that hymn. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. That state of nothingness, that realization, it is wholly of his mercy. But Bartimaeus didn't just feel his need, did he? He cried out. We wonder how many more there would have been on that road to Jerusalem who were begging. Some may have been desiring just to have those ailments healed. Many in that city, rich in the things of this world, with no need whatsoever. Just think for a moment. We don't know who the richest person in Jericho was at that time. We don't know whether they are now in heaven or in hell. But we know that this man who had nothing now has everything. He has those true treasures. That treasure in heaven where neither rust nor moth can corrupt. Blind Bartimaeus is truly rich. Blind Bartimaeus is now enjoying great riches. We think of that account of the other beggar, don't we? The rich man and Lazarus. That rich man is now in the depths of hell. We have that account. He begged Lazarus just to dip his finger in some water, that he may have a drop of water on his tongue. But no, there is a great gulf between heaven and hell. It cannot be bridged. And dear friends, Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. May that be impressed upon our minds. May we feel that need, and may we cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you ever truly cried that? Have you ever truly seen your need of the Messiah? Have mercy on me. But this is a merciful God. A merciful God who works. A merciful God who does all the work. A merciful God who will listen to the cries of his people. We may feel at times that he is not listening to our cries. We may feel that he is shutting out our cries. We may feel, a beggar vile and base I come, without a friend, without a home, and knock at mercy's door. A friendless, helpless wretch indeed, nor have I one good work to plead, yet crave a living store. Sometimes we may feel that the Lord has not heard our cry. Maybe you are here this morning saying, "Well, I have cried." And the Lord hasn't revealed himself to me. Bartimaeus had to cry more than once. He cried out. And there were those around him that said, "Shh, quiet him down. You're disturbing the peace. Don't disturb this great man. Go away, you beggar. You're ruining our town. You're ruining our situation." Dear friends, there are many distractions to stop us calling upon the Son of David. Distractions within, distractions without. Those things that will rise up and say, "Well, I've cried. The Lord hasn't answered. I'll carry on. Maybe in a few years' time, I'll cry again. Maybe a few years' time, when I'm a bit older, the Lord will work." Dear friends, do you not see this beggar, this blind Bartimaeus, needed help now? Do you not see that you need help now? Do you not see that you do not know whether you will be here tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? You think of the many countless tens of thousands who have gone to a so-called early grave in this past year that we have gone through. Do you not understand that you are blind? Oh, may you be given that life to see. You are in need. To continue your cry. And if you truly feel your need, you will not cease crying until he answers your prayer. So he had to cry again. He had to keep crying, like Jacob, wasn't it? Like Jacob, when he had to wrestle. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Is that how you are? "I will not let thee go, Lord, except thou bless me. I need thee, Lord. Come and reveal thyself unto me." We will be brought to realise and recognise we have a personal need. But we'll also recognise the Saviour that we need. Some will feel then see their sinfulness first and then come to see their need of a Saviour. Others may see the preciousness of a Saviour and then be brought to see their sinfulness. We each have different needs. We each have different pathways. We will each be led in different ways. But there are two things that are vital in the experience of every child of God. A recognition, to a greater or lesser degree, that we are sinful. And a recognition that there is only one that can save us: Jesus, the Son of David, that one alone who can have mercy upon us. So may we keep on crying, may we keep on begging, may we keep on seeking, asking and knocking. For if we seek, we will find. If we ask, he will give, and if we knock, he will open. If he has quickened you to feel your need, he will continue that work, and may he continue it rapidly. May he work it out in his own time, but give you still a seeking, crying heart. But as Bartimaeus cried out for that second time, he was not going to be stopped, was he? He knew this was his hope. His cry was with the hymn writer, "My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me, to me." Jesus heard that cry. He stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus heard the cry and he commanded the blind man to be called. Our hopes will be lifted. We hear the Saviour's call. What, me? What, me? A poor, blind, worthless beggar with literally nothing to bring? What, Lord? Thou art calling me? But I have nothing to give. No. My love is imperfect. Yes. But what? My life through many changes goes, his love no variation knows. His love is a perfect love, our love is imperfect. His work is a perfect work, our works are worth nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, his is a perfect, precious, holy garment. He calls his people. He calls his people. They hear his call and they are drawn unto him. Drawn by his love. We love him because he first loved us. That's the only reason. It's the only reason we will ever love a precious Saviour. Because he first loved us. All the fitness he requireth, dear friend, is to feel your need of him. That's all we need to bring. Nothing. A felt need of this Son of David. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did blind Bartimaeus do? He had to rise. Be of good cheer, the crowd said, who a minute ago were trying to make him be quiet. They said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. He calleth. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Is the Lord calling you? Has the Lord taught you to feel your blindness, your nakedness, your wretchedness? Have you had a glimpse of his suitability? Your only hope. Rise, he calleth thee. And when he calls his people, it is with no uncertain sound. It's a loud call. It's a certain call. Because you're needy. And if you have a true need, it will be a most suitable call. And what comfort that call brings to a poor, unworthy beggar. He called, and the beggar rose. He rose and came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He fell at his feet. He knew that this was his only hope. His only hope of mercy. His only hope of salvation. He rose and came to Jesus. This is not just a story. Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem. He has now suffered for the sins of his people. He has risen from the grave, and he has now ascended on high. He lives. He lives. He is a living Saviour, as that hymn number 751, I believe it is. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives to still his people's fears. He lives to wipe away their tears. He lives to calm their troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives unchangeably the same. He lives their mansions to prepare. He lives to bring them safely there. And he will bring you each safely there. Dear friends, anyone that has felt their true beggarness, if that's even a word, who has felt their sinfulness, who has felt this Saviour to be precious, he will bring them all safely home, for this Saviour lives. What he did upon earth, he is now doing in heaven. His work cannot be stopped. But one last point. As time is going, this man rose. What did he do when he had been given his sight? He didn't run back into Jericho, did he? Try and find his family, look at where he was brought up, see the beauties of the city? No. Because he had now seen the one thing needful. He had not only been given his eyesight, naturally, but he had seen the Son of David. He had seen the Messiah. He took up his cross and he followed Jesus in the way. He followed. He saw a fullness in this Saviour. He saw all that he desired, all that he needed. He wasn't just swept up with the crowd and the throng that were round about him. He saw a fullness, a suitability, and a love to this man. A fullness resides in Jesus, our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to who? The poor. That's who the treasure's given to, the poor, the beggar. Whate'er be our wants, we need not to fear. Our numerous complaints, his mercy will hear. His fullness shall yield us abundant supplies. His power shall shield us when dangers arise. There will be dangers. There will be complaints. There will be times of trial and grief. For it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. Why? To keep us begging. To keep us in that point of felt need. Because if we do not feel that point of need, if we are ever in a lukewarm spirit, we'll be spewed out of his mouth. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he will chasten you, dear friends, to keep you clinging to him. And if you do not follow a precious Jesus, if you are disobedient to his voice, if you ignore his call, his work will be finished. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He will chastise his people. He will bring them to that point of faith in him. He followed. He followed Jesus in the way. But how did he follow? How can he follow? How can you follow? We can only go in the way the psalmist had to go in Psalm 71. I will go. I will go. That's how Moses had to go. That's how Gideon had to go. That's how Ruth had to go. That's how Rebecca had to go. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. We can only follow as we are called. We will only be called if we cry, and we will only cry if we feel our need. And we can only go in the strength of the Lord God. Because if we do not have his strength, we have no strength. And he'll give us strength. He will give all his people strength. My strength is sufficient for thee. We don't always feel it. We think, I can't do this. I can't do that. Why is this upon me now? You, dear friend, will have to prove his strength is sufficient. He will help you. He will support you. He will uphold you. Why? Because you have entrusted in one that is almighty. You have put your trust in Jesus, the Son of David, that one that is merciful. And then what will your cry be? Your cry will be with the hymn writer in hymn 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. He will still keep you alive. He will give you strength sufficient for your days. So as we draw our thoughts to a close, where are we? Do you feel your need? Have you cried unto the Lord? Has he called unto you? Have you risen? Have you cast off your own filthy garment and followed him? May he give us each that true sight to see a precious Saviour. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham is expected to address the Sunday school this afternoon and preach again this evening at 6 o'clock. And Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and again next Lord's Day. He also hopes to address the Sunday school, and the evening service will again be at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn number 23. Number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
That which has been of thee this morning. And if there are any poor beggars here, may they have all their needs supplied by thee. Come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. Oh, may we see more of thy sufficiency, May we desire and have a closer walk with thee. And may we be given that strength needful to continue in the way. Be with us each now. This afternoon, help those that gather at the Sunday school, and also as we come again to worship this evening, may we not worship in vain. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each. Now and forevermore. Amen.